Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for January 11th, 2008. This week, we're talking about wild animal sex, specifically sexual selection, how animals attract mates. It's a major force in evolution and the source of endless fascination for biologists studying animal behavior. So, Suzanne, where are we going to start? Lions, tigers, bears, perhaps?
No, actually fruit flies.
Fruit flies. Okay. Not what most people would consider sexy.
Well, maybe that's because as a human, you have preconceived notions
right.
about what's sexy.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, but fruit flies might disagree with you.
Yes. Okay. I am a vertebrate chauvinist pig. So what's happening on the fruit fly mating scene?
Well, ecologist Michelle Taylor and David Hoskin of the University of Exeter in England recently rated the attractiveness of male Drosophila simulans fruit flies.
That's how did they do that? Did they put out a survey, a Cosmo
right.
fruit fly magazine?
No, actually, it was a little bit more scientific than that. They did this by measuring how quickly females chose to mate with the males. Then they let the offspring grow up and watched how long it took new females to pair up with the sons of the original males.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what happened?
Well, they found that the sons of attractive fathers also got the most mates.
If the offspring inherit the attractiveness of the dad, then they're more likely to have children themselves, which means that females that choose to mate with more attractive males will have more grandchildren, and that means they're at a selective advantage.
The researchers also want to know if there are additional benefits to mating with an attractive male, like better genes or more robust offspring. And they're not yet sure exactly which qualities the females find so attractive in these males.
Right, and there are so many qualities to choose from. The soulful, multifaceted eyes, the sensitive antennae.
Oh, they're not that bad. Give these poor flies a break. I mean, imagine your life as a fly. Come on.
Interesting. Interesting thought.
Actually, though, they think smell might be a clue the females use to choose their favorite males.
Sort of like pheromones?
Yeah, kind of. One thing that's really interesting about this is that a male's attractiveness is only inherited in this species of fruit fly, Drosophila simulans. The fruit fly that we're more familiar with, the one that's sort of the lab rat of the insect world, is Drosophila melanogaster. But in that species, they found that attractiveness isn't heritable at all. And this is where it starts to get really weird. They think this is probably because the males limit the female's ability to mate with other males by poisoning them with their own sperm.
Ew.
I think it's important to remind ourselves that just because we know something about one Drosophila doesn't mean we know everything about all Drosophila, you know. And we're actually finding that the two animals, in spite of being really closely related, are very, very different.
Thanks, Suzanne. I'll never look at fruit flies in quite the same way. And I'm not sure that's a good thing. No, actually, thank you for that report. Switching gears now to a more traditionally attractive animal, the common yellowthroat is a songbird found throughout most of North America. The birds are mostly brown in color, but males of the species have bright yellow breasts and prominent black facial masks. Females find these markings attractive and choose their mates based on them. But when researchers working in two different states let the females choose which ornament they liked best, they were surprised. Peter Dunn is a biologist at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee.
What we found is that the females in New York preferred males with larger yellow breasts, and females in Wisconsin preferred males with larger black masks. So it appears that the females are preferring males with different traits in these different populations, and that's really unusual among birds and a lot of other animals to find that females differ in their preferences. Usually they prefer longer tails or more elaborate songs or whatever, and that's pretty consistent from one population to another.
Now Dunn and his colleagues are trying to determine the ecological factors that might make bigger bibs a better signal of mate quality in New York and larger face masks in Wisconsin. He says it's possible that female sexual selection like this could be a factor in the evolution of new species down the road.
We may be at the earliest stages of how species become reproductively isolated from each other, and that could eventually lead to new species over long evolutionary periods of time.
Thanks, Bob. Well, while warblers may woo their mates with pretty feathers, male dolphins may be resorting to a slimier sort of courtship down in the Brazilian Amazon. In the past, male Amazon river dolphins have been observed carrying around weeds and sticks and other stuff they dig up in the river. Well, now it seems like the dolphins may be doing this to attract the opposite sex. This according to a report presented at the 17th Biennial Conference on the Biology of Marine Mammals held recently in Cape Town, South Africa. A preliminary genetic analysis showed that dolphin calves are more likely to be fathered by males who carry objects, a good indication that the behavior has a sexual component to it. The behavior is usually done by adult males in the presence of adult females, and aggression is much more common between males when objects are being carried. Additional tip-offs that this could be a sexually important behavior.
Thanks, Suzanne. Okay, this has nothing to do with sex, but it does involve dolphins.
Okay.
Scientists at Emory have looked into the practice of dolphin-assisted therapy, in which children or adults with physical or mental disabilities swim with dolphins. The claim is that the experience has healing powers, but the researchers say that over the past 20 years, there have been no credible controlled studies that show the therapy works any better than having the patients interact with puppies or other domestic animals. Well, that's all for this week. Next week, we're going to talk about the brain's perceptual pathways, how we process stimuli like temperature and light from the outside world. And we'll explore new breakthroughs in understanding the brain chemistry of autism and mental retardation. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a fresh new story about science every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.